just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're truly thankful, Lord, to be able to come, Lord, and to gather into your little place you provided for us. Lord, how so wonderful. And Lord, knowing our hearts, knowing our desires, Lord, oftentimes I know you make ways, Lord, that we can be here. Father, when there's oftentimes Satan tries to stop us, put blocks in our paths, but Lord, you know our desire. And Lord, you allow us to be able to come. And Lord, to hear you speak to us under the anointing of thy word. For Lord, it's truly something special. Father, we can listen to tapes, hear books, read books, Father. But Lord, just being under your spirit, Lord, as your anointed word comes forth, we thank you for the opportunity. Lord, bless everyone that's gathered here tonight. Strengthen us and encourage us. Meet our individual need, Lord. And may you get the glory and honor in everything that's said and done, we ask in your precious name. Amen. Praise his holy name. Do you love him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated if you would. Turn with me in our... Amen. I'd like to turn on page 140, where big books there. Redeemed. Oh, how I love to proclaim it. Hallelujah. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Oh, hallelujah. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood. Be silent. His love is the theme of my songs. Redeemed, oh redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I know I shall the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. By the blood. want to sing Redeemed. Amen. Praise His holy name. In our capstone books there, turn with me on page 92. I shall know Him. Oh, hallelujah. When my life's work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. And His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His sign I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the prints of the nails in His hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face and the luster of His kindly beaming eyes. How my full heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. Oh, I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His sign I shall stand. Oh, I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckon me to come, and our parting at the river I recall. To the sweet bells of Eden they will sing my welcome home. But I long to meet my Savior first of all. Oh Lord, I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. Oh, I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Through the gates to that city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where the tears shall ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Amen. Oh, I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. Oh, I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand.
Amen. Oh, what a day that's going to be, saints.
Be able to see Him. Be able to kneel at His feet and tell Him what we love Him. Amen. All saints, He's so wonderful. Praise His holy name. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come? Amen. Praise His name. Ask the blessing, if you will. Yes, Lord. Amen. What a day that shall be. Think about it. What a day that will be. Oh, in my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He by the hand and leads me through that promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be. Oh, in my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Amen. Sing the little chorus, "It's worth it all to be His child." Amen. It's worth it all to be His child, to serve Him through each last long mile. It's worth it. Feel that way, saints. It is worth it all. Amen. No matter what it may cost us here in this life, it's worth it all. One moment with Him in eternity, it's all. Amen. Praise His name. How many have a request for Him tonight? Hold it on your heart. Brother Philip, would you take the request?
Gracious Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for the opportunity here again tonight, Lord, to be gathered together with saints alike for this place, Lord, that we might grow in strength from one another, Lord God. And draw strength from Your word.
Yes.
Lord, dear God, that we might be able, Lord, to finish this race, Lord, and thy God, that we might be able, Lord, to walk pleasing in Your sight in this hour and age in which we live, Lord, that our lives might be a lamp and a light unto others, Lord, of the very life of Jesus Christ in this time that we're living in. That we pray tonight for the needs of the people. Every hand was raised, Lord. You know the need, Lord. Remember those tonight that they be sick and afflicted, Lord, and those, Lord, who are in the accident, Lord, we pray that You just strengthen their bodies, Lord, and let them have a quick recovery, Lord.
Yes.
We pray,
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? I ask if you'd come.
Life so that he might understand what it would be like to be a mortal man. He has compassion. He knows just how you feel. There were times he wondered what his next meal would be. So many times that his body was so tired and weak, he conquered for you. He's waiting to be touched by faith. So reach out and touch him. Touch him. Wayside held his head in his hands. He felt the aches and pains of a mortal man. He understands it. He knows what you're going through. So when it feels like your heart is ready to break, you cry, dear Lord, I don't know how much more I can take. He's right beside you. He's waiting to be touched by faith. So reach out and touch him. Touch him by faith. There is nothing that would please him more than if you would reach out today. There's nothing too big, nothing too small he understands. He went through it all. He's there. So touch him by faith. There's nothing too big, nothing too small he understands. He went through it all. He's there to heal. He's there to save. So touch him by faith.
Stand together, if you will. Sing a little chorus. Lord, I believe. Ask our brother to come.
Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord,
precious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to the opportunity you've given us to gather here. And thank you for your precious Holy Spirit we feel. And Lord, just speak to our hearts in a special way this evening. Lord, just whatever you would have, Lord, we want to yield ourselves to you. And Lord, just bless the people, bless those that are sick. Lord, touch their bodies, raise them up. Lord, any that need healing, Lord, may you touch their bodies. And Lord, may it be to your glory and to your honor. Lord, that we may declare to this day, Lord, that Jesus Christ is living. Lord, that you would be manifested even in our temples of flesh, Lord, these temples of clay, that you would receive the glory and the honor from it. Bless your word, Lord. Speak to our hearts, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you love him?
Amen.
Amen. My, so precious. Amen. You just need a little touch tonight, maybe? Someone? You know, it's thinking of that little song, oh my, just reach out and touch him. Whatever you have need of, God is there.
Amen.
You know, it's just, hey, man, let's turn over here to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. I'm going to read a scripture and just kind of praying, meditating on the Lord before service, not really sure. Just kind of want him to have the leading, you know, we just let him have his way. Amen. Oh, my saints, I just pray God will continue to reveal himself to us and continue to show us how great he truly is. But we must truly yield ourselves to him. Amen. Amen. But here in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, we're going to begin at the first verse. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all the godliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of our Lord bloweth upon it, and surely the people is grass. But the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. May the Lord add the blessings and greetings wherein you may be seated. Amen. Just kind of thinking about that, the word of our Lord. And you know, even as we gather here each time, there's many precious promises in this Bible that lay here that are for us. But you know, it's got to become so real to us that it truly becomes the main thing that I need. And you know, as the sister sang that song, I was just thinking, over here, and well, let me see. But you know, I was just thinking, as Brother Smith used to minister so much on an absolute, you know, it was something that meant a lot to him, and it should mean a lot to all of us to truly have a place to where I don't just come to church and I'm not just here because everybody said I should be, and I'm just not following this message maybe because my wife is, because my husband is, because my mom and dad is, because brother, sister is following it, and I'm just not following along trying to seek it. But, you know, as it comes down to it, and you see it all through the land, that's why the mess we have today is the people, they don't have an absolute in their life. They don't have a set place where they can go and say, this is the thing that matters. You know, if I was going to work on my car and it being a Chevy, and maybe I'd find the best Chevy mechanic, the guy that maybe put the thing together and designed it. There's no other greater authority than that man for that vehicle. And whatever it needs, he can fix it, and he can tell me how to fix it. And it'll work out properly just the way it needs to be. And that's the way this word is to us, saints. God give us a set. And he started clean back in Genesis and began to unfold himself. And write this, and had the prophets write this precious book we call the Bible. And he laid it out in Scripture. And then he had all of the writers begin to write how he came and how he was crucified. And all this has been written down in this precious book. And then God began to inspire the prophet Paul to break down and to bring out the revelation of the Word and to set in order that faith of the fathers, the way that it was originally delivered. And how God has kept it down through time and brought it down to our day. And Satan's tried all down through to destroy it and to take away from it and to say it's not true and it's not this. You know, Satan's the one that takes away your, he tries to steal from you that you can receive a healing. He's there to try to steal from you a revealed word that God's trying to show you. And he'll always have a bogus. Somebody raise up over here and they're saying this or they're saying that. But God has always got an absolute right down the middle, and he left it here on printed page for us. But you know, we've got to see it for ourselves. I can tell you that this is it, but you've got to see it for yourself. You know, I was thinking of the little woman that was healed of the blood issue and how she had heard and seen all that Jesus had done. And she knew she didn't have a hope. Everybody else had told her she didn't have a chance. The doctors had told her it was over and it was done. But in her mind, it became her absolute that she knew she, if she could touch but the hem of his garment, she'd be made whole. If she could just get a hold of him, it was her. She knew, and it happened just like that. She placed her faith on that thing that I can touch his garment. I know I'll be made whole. And she was. And you know, here in the message, an absolute. Brother Branham preached this many different times. And I just want to read a few things that Brother Branham said. But here he says, before, this is in an absolute preached. This was preached March 4th, 1963. Before you can have faith, you've got to have something to have faith in. And what more can you trust faith in that can be the word of the living God, what's created, the powers of the Almighty? What more could we put our hopes in? Therefore, it makes you look different and act different. You're looking for God to fulfill his promise. And when difficulties arise like we have now, it is an anchor. It's something that holds you, something you're tied to. And it's a promise we've been tied to, the Word of God is. Now, Brother Branham's telling us we should have faith in the Word of God. But if it's not been revealed to me that this is the Word of God, then this is of no effect to me. And that's why we must start. Maybe we're just starting out in the Lord. Maybe we've been walking with the Lord for a long time. But if I can't fully rely that this is the absolute truth and there's no room for deviation, I can let someone come along and take it from me. Maybe place a doubt there or try to pull me in some way to show me that this is not what God had for me. But it's got to become such an absolute, and it's got to start at the ABCs. It's got to start that you truly can see that Jesus Christ said, if you'll repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then you've got to take into reality what he said the Holy Ghost would do in our lives, and we've got to have faith in that. Just as much as when Jesus Christ said, let there be light, and there was light, and it came past, and it was manifested. The same word that he spoke all down through will take effect in our lives just exactly the way he said it would. But we've got to place our faith in something. And there's nothing greater we can place it in than the Word of God, what he's left here for us. You know, as he says over here, he says, I want to, this is in the message, a trumpet that gives an uncertain sound. And this was preached January 14th, 1963. He says, I want to bring this down a little close to home, see. Church life is shook up and uncertain. And that's what Paul was speaking of. And that's what he meant. If a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, church life is shook up and the people don't hardly know what to do. And they go wandering from church to church trying to find out what is right. Where is the right doctrine? And one will come around and they can explain it just almost to the very point of their creed is right. And then the first thing you know, they find so much corruption in that until they'd rather try another church to see what their creed is, doctrine. Oh, all of this, we find out that we have broken ourselves up then by these things to 100 different orders of church. Now, there's nothing against that. They can do the other things then that they do. But there's got to be some good come of it somewhere. But you see, you can't put your confidence in saying, I belong to the Methodist Association of Churches. I'm all right because I belong to it, and I'm belong to the Baptist Association. I'm all right. You can't do that. You can't even do it when you say you belong to the Pentecostal Association of Churches. You can't do that. You mustn't do that because it's not. We find out then when our first Pentecostal Association, the General Council, was set in order, it wasn't very long until they began to break from there. From their issues and doctrines. And now just look at it everywhere, see? And it goes to show that it's uncertain. Those who trust in just the organization alone, it's uncertain. And so many begin to just try to trust in a man, William Branham. And you can just say, well, I'm trusting in a prophet. But if you don't truly see that he was the prophet and it was God's mouthpiece that was speaking when the word began to come forth from him, you'll never really put full faith in what was spoken. But you'll always, well, that was Brother, but there's room at that point to say that was Brother Branham's idea. But if you can let God begin to reveal to you from the beginning that everything he done was for a purpose and to bring up to prove that this book is the infallible word of God and that this is where our foundation must be set, is upon this precious word. And when he said, I will do nothing lest I reveal it to my servants, the prophet first. And then to see other men raise up. If you get a true, genuine revelation of what God is doing in this hour and who he sent and why it was sent, the churches and the mess falls off the scene. If you can get your eyes focused in totally upon God and quit looking at the mess that is around us and focus in on what God says, maybe you don't have a full understanding, and a lot of times it might seem like this church is fussing with that church and this person's fussing with that person. They disagree and they don't here and there. What's the mess? Why does it matter so much? But God's word said it had to be just like this. And when it come down to the line, it don't matter how much against our idea it is or how much against the way I feel about it, but if it's the word, we got to follow it to a T. You know, when you look at the little lady in the Bible where she was, in the, Elijah came to her and she said she had two little things of meal left and she was going to fix her son and her a little cake and they were going to eat it and die. And here God sent a prophet down there and he said, before you cook for yourself, you cook for me. It was so against her idea, maybe. That was her child. And all she had was that one little cake in her hand and she knew it was going to feed him. But the word had already said, you feed me first. Give to me and then you take, and that barrel won't run dry. And oh my, but look how to the carnal mind it might have looked like he's so selfish. Look at that man. He wants me to give him this and give him that. But God had forehand prepared the ground and placed in her heart. He's, in the scriptures it says, I have commanded a widow woman to feed you. And oh, how God deals on both ends of every situation. But we've got to learn to look and to take him at his word and let it be an absolute in our life that it does not matter how I feel about it, what my family says about it, what another church says about it, but what did the word say about it? And look at what God was expressing through that prophet's lips when he brought the word. As he goes on here, he says, you can't even belong to the cessation. Very long as they break from there. Trust is uncertain. You say, Brother Branham, you're taking us out on a big limb here and you're painting an awful dark picture. I intended to do that. I wanted to do it. I did it for a purpose that I might say this. Is there anything certain? Yes, there is one thing that's certain, and I'm so glad that there's one thing you can put your confidence in and be sure that it's right. When everything else is gone, this will be standing. If you read St. Matthew 24:35, he said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall not fail. God has a certain foundation. And that's why God, I believe, saints, with all my heart, has drawn and called out of people here and there and brought them together underneath the precious word to bring them back to a singleness of mind, one accord with an absolute of the precious word of God. Not my idea, your idea, but bringing it back to that it lines right up 100% because it has to be that way for God to fulfill every word that he ever promised. If it doesn't come back to an absolute, two can't walk together. And oh my, it must come right down the middle to where it's one mind, one accord, as it was on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. They were praying, they were in the Spirit looking for one thing, and that's what God had promised to do in their lives. And that's what God has done. Look at the promises He's left for us today that He said He would do in our lives. But what's hindering it? Have I let someone steal it from me, or am I failing to just maybe not really see that God has promised? Every word in this book is mine. Every promise, every chapter, my healing was paid for 2,000 years ago. But am I hungry enough to cry out to God to say, Lord, reveal it to me. Lord, show me, lest I perish. Lord, don't let me be one that's not healed. But oh my, may it be a true cry in our hearts to reach out that He would get the glory through our bodies and through our lives. And He would receive the praise for it, not us. Not that we're somebody, but it's that God can receive the praise and the glory out of your life. But oh my, you know, oftentimes there's so many ideas with healing. This one says, oh, it's not for that. This one says we must lay on hands. And you see it, but what did the Word say? The Word said, oh my, to believe. Speak and it'll happen, just like it did with that Gentile back. He said that was the Gentile way. But do we hunger for that? Or do I just don't even care about that word really being fulfilled? But oh my, if you truly see that and let this word become your absolute, it'll drive you to that you want to see every word fulfilled in your life that God's got for you. He says, you remember the story. This is in the Message in Absolute, preached January 27, 1963. He says, you remember the story a few minutes ago of the little lady that had a vision. And that was her absolute. Brother Branham had a vision, and he said he spoke to her. And my, she put her faith in that. She put her faith in everything he had just told her out of that vision, because she had seen it happen and work for others. She said if she could get God to speak back and say it's over, no matter what the doctor said, it was an absolute. It absolutely anchored down. And a man or a woman just in a philosophy or a church joining or something like that, you're not anchored yet. You would take your letter from one church to the other, from one place to another. But if you can just take the real absolute Christ and anchor yourself in that, don't make any difference what comes or goes, you're still anchored. And what the Christians need today is in this atomic age, this time of uncertainty, you need something besides just an experience of joining church. You need an anchor, an absolute that you know. Because churches will fail and people will fail, but Christ cannot fail. He is the absolute to the believer. And if Christ is your absolute, and you're tied to Him, He is your absolute, and you're tied to Him, then you're tied to the Word. And saints, it'll work like that every time. You'll see, maybe, you know, and we've seen it. Oh, we thought this church was so right. And oh, it failed and passed on. We felt a man was so right, and it failed us. And oh my, you can look through the land and see so many men that people thought was so right, and they failed. But this Word will not fail, and it'll hold true down the line. And that's what God has brought us together. And He's pushed it and showed us through His Holy Spirit that if with the true, genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit in a people, they will follow that Word to the letter. And they won't get their eyes on a man or upon a church, but they're focused in on that Word, and that has become, it doesn't matter what anyone says at that time. And they don't have to go around saying, well, my church says or my pastor says, but they can go back and say, God has revealed to me that this is for me, this is mine. You can't get a healing on my revelation. You can't get a healing on your pastor's revelation. But it's what God will reveal to you. And that's what you got to have as an absolute, that you know that God has called you to this, and that you can see that He's took your life in His hands, and He's beginning to mold you and form you into that character that you ought to be. But saints, we've got to see it for ourselves. It doesn't matter how many other people can tell you about it. And oh my, they can get excited and they can shout and maybe have signs and wonders. But that's not going to do you any good. Because you can't, that's not going to get you where you need to be. And you know, we often wonder, well, why I have to study this Word and I have to do this. And oh my, do I need to read it that much? This is also in an absolute. This was back in the one preached in March 463. He says, it's just like an anchor is the absolute to the ship. In the time of the storm, the ship can be sailing the sea and the anchor is out in front and it's at rest. And you people here in Houston, so close to the sea, you see the ships come in And why carry this excess weight of this great and mighty anchor? Why carry the burden of the reproach of living like this? Or why have to put up with having people talk about me or disagree with me? Why? He says, but when you carry this excess weight of that great and mighty anchor, when the storm comes, the raging storm that rips up the sea and could throw the vessel into the bank somewhere and crash it, or turn it over in shallow waters, it gets out into the deep water and lets down this great huge anchor that's so fixed to drag on the bottom of the sea until it hooks in the top of some unseen mountain, and then let those storms rage if they want to. It's got an absolute. The anchor holds somewhere yonder, but it's tight. And the ships and the waves whip around the ship, but it's got an absolute because it's tied. And that's the way that a man, when he is tied to Christ, to his word, and believes it, there's an absolute there, something that'll hold him. And saints, that's what's got to come into our hearts and lives. And as you can see, God has just so mercifully poured out his word to us that he would take our eyes and unfocus them from where they were focused in the past and begin to harness us down and focus us into this word, that this word means exactly what it says. Right down to the letter, that it's not up for discussion. It's not up for maybe it's that way, maybe it's this way. But God has brought it back to our attention and focused us into the Holy Spirit that it's got to be just like this. And look at what God is, since we have been in this little building, look how he has brought the word and honed it and pushed it and showed us the importance of being what God would have us be. What the true baptism of the Holy Ghost and how God could get the preeminence and the leadership of a people. Look at all the things God has brought across this little pulpit to us, to help each one of us as an individual. But oh my, are we looking at it like that? You know, so many people, they want to, you know, they get around the message and they want to, well, I heard that we got to do this and we got to do that. Amen. Let me see. I lost my place. But you know, it's not up to us to have to force this life. Here in the message, this is in the message, A Door and a Door, preached February 23rd, 1963. Brother Branham says, paragraph 56 on page 8, you know you can't manufacture nothing, and you're not asked to manufacture anything. The church is not asked to produce or to manufacture fruit. You're to bear fruit, see? You couldn't say to a sheep, manufacture wool. Just let him become a sheep, and he'll bear wool. And that's the trouble of it, is we try to manufacture something. Don't manufacture it, but just get the inside right. Could you imagine a blackbird sitting up there putting a peacock feather in his wings and saying, see, I'm a peacock. He's trying to put something in there that never growed from the inside out. And we're finding too much of that among our Pentecostal groups. But let's be real, genuine, born-again Pentecostals. I say, no, it's the only thing that I've ever found this side of heaven that'll give me the assurance that my sins are gone and I am born of the Spirit of God. And then you have something. And that becomes an anchor in you that'll hold. And saints, how true it is. So many people, they join church and they'll let their hair grow. They'll put on a dress. Men will clean up, start adding to act right. But they still have, Brother Branham said, you can come up to sanctification. You'll clean your life up. You'll get right with God. But come on into the point being born again. Bring you the very thing that'll bring that changing of the soul and turn this body around. Oh my, you know, each one of us, as we travel this life, oftentimes we think we got here and we got there by ourselves and this happened and that happened. But let me see if I can find it here. Amen. Amen. Page. Amen. Another note stuck in there. Amen. Yeah, here in this is in the message, Work is Faith Expressed, page 16, 11, November 26, 1965. Now here is the predestinated plan in plain view. Just as other seed of the Word of God is a seed and must have the ground prepared beforehand, if you sowed seed and just throwed it out here on the ground, it would do no good. The birds would pick it up. You throw it among the thistles and thorns, it'll choke out pretty soon. Jesus' parable said so. So the ground had to be made ready first. So God in sovereign grace prepares the heart. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receive him in this age. He foreknew you by his foreknowledge and ordained you to eternal life. He knew you, therefore he prepared you. That's the reason you staggered out of these things and staggered into what you have now. And maybe you think it's by chance that this situation in your life happened that brought you over to this situation in your life that led to that situation that placed you there. But God knew each one of us beforehand. And he knew what it would take to bring each one of us to that place where we would have a full, secure confidence in his word. And he knew what it would take to build the character to maybe break this off of us, to add this to us, what it would take to get us that when we got to this point in our lives, we would be that vessel that he could use in this last day to prove that there is a Jesus Christ living the same yesterday, today, and forever. But that's the reason you staggered out of these things and staggered into what you have now. It was God leading you to the place where he had ordained for you to be. And if the ground isn't prepared beforehand, it can't grow. And that's the reason the seed of faith, when you're preaching faith, see, discernments of the Lord, see what takes place. All the gifts of the Bible working, people working, said, oh, hallelujah, I believe it. And come up and find themselves disappointed, see. The ground has to be foreordained, and you will know it when it strikes. Amen. And how God has truly brought it down to where when that light strikes, you know whether it does or not. We don't have to go through this life wondering, oh, I wonder if that person's really born again. I wonder if that person's really filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wonder if that person could really be right when God's word has already come in its fullness. And Brother Branham said here, this is in the message, who is this Melchizedek? And he was talking about how over here, how that would, it would strike that. And it would immediately. And here in, this is in the message, who is this Melchizedek, page 14. This was preached in February 65. He says, but look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws that body in subjection to God. Hallelujah. He that's born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. There is therefore now no condemnation that are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are. It'll throw your body subject. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking. If I could just get in Christ and it's all gone, see? Because your body is subject to the Spirit. And it's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead and they are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism, and you are a new creation in Christ, and your body becoming subject to that Spirit to try to live the right kind of life. And it's immediate, saints. God, when that light strikes across your path, you watch how your body will begin to change. Your thoughts, your attitude, everything begins with that true, genuine Holy Spirit in there. You don't get an understanding of it all overnight, and you'll be overcoming, but you watch out. Overcoming's never stalemated. It keeps coming. And it keeps climbing and it keeps forming in you. And every time that you can see that overcoming, it brings that much more of an assurance that this word is truth. And it begins to build that in your heart that he said that I would overcome. And you see that overcoming and he said, I can't do that in myself. And it begins to build in you. And it's building you to that place to where when you can look into those scriptures and you begin to see that he said, by his stripes I'm healed. It's not just a sentence anymore, but that was written there for me. That was mine, and I was healed. If Jesus was standing here, he can't do no more for you today than he's already done, because he'd done the work 2,000 years ago when he was hung on that cross. And actually, before the foundation of the world, your sins was paid for. Oh, my, God seen you in his mind, and he made the way for you to be here today. He knew you would sit here. He knew every step you was going to take. He knew everything that was going to befall you and every circumstance in life that would raise up. And maybe at the time you're like, oh my, why does this have to happen to me? Why does this have to happen? But God knows what it takes to bring an absolute assurance in your heart that he's got you in the palm of his hand. And he's never going to leave you nor forsake you, but he's going to be there to take you through and to see you reach that promised land. But oh my, God's got sovereign ways of doing things. But we must take his heed to his word that what it says, it means right down to the letter. Everything that he says, we must take heed to it and obey it. And no matter how the circumstances may look, no matter how I feel about it. You know, look at Abraham when God told him to offer up Isaac. Oh my, the son he had waited so long for, but he'd never hesitated. When the word came, his body went into motion. He didn't understand fully why God was wanting that son, but God had told him to move, and that was the word to him, and he followed it step by step right up that mountain. But God was there to meet it and fulfill it and to get the glory that was through that procedure. Amen. And each one of us, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know why God leads us the way that he does. Some of us, you know, sometimes it may seem like, Lord, how much more can I bear? But oh, he's right there. He says, son, I'm here. I've got you. I'm watching you. Amen. But I want you to have an absolute confidence in me. An absolute assurance that what I said, I'm more than able to do. And that's what he's proven through his precious word, saints. He's here to back it up 100%. This goes along with that. This is God's provided place of worship. He says, and if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken and make alive your mortal bodies, because it's already life. And when it comes into your body, it brings your whole body subject to it. Subject to what? To the word, if it's in you. You tell me, well, well, that was the days past. Mark 16 is not true. The Pentecostal idea, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that ain't the Spirit of God in you. I don't care how well you trained. That's not in the Spirit of God. You say, well, my mother belonged to this, and my father through the years, and my brother. Whatever you want to say about your relatives and so forth, that might have been all right with them. But it ain't for you, see. You've got to this day come into Jesus Christ for this age and the promise that's meant for this age. Notice we find out that great quickening power struck Enoch, and it quickened him, and he went home without dying. It struck Elijah, and it quickened him till he went home without dying. And we find out his successor, Elisha, was a type there of Christ in the church. And Elijah done 4 miracles, and Elisha done 8. He had a double portion, like, poured out upon the church. And later they had a dead man thrown in there over his bones, and he came to life. That quickening power was in the grave with him. It's always there when you get the quickening power of God being quickened with him now. And saints, God is not slack concerning his promises. When he said you would overcome daily, you'll overcome daily. And then when you can look into that scripture and see that taking place in your life, what an assurance it ought to bring into our heart that he said, the overcomer will I grant to sit with me on my throne. And how it ought to bring such an assurance into my heart and into my life when I can begin to see this precious word, these scriptures that are just words maybe on a page. But as I begin to read them and hear them, I can begin to see my life transforming and molding and character coming to that. The way of reverence to my husband, maybe I never reverenced him before, but now there's a reverence there. The way I raised my children, I never cared before, but now there's a reverence there. I'm raising them according to God's word. Maybe from right, whatever it may be, right down the line, it's coming 100%. You see your life toeing to that mark. And oh my, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are Christ Jesus. And he said, if your heart condemns you not, ask whatsoever you will, and I'll do it for you. But saints, we've got to have a confidence in his word. And it's got to be focused totally in his word, not in a church building, not in a group of people, not in your pastor, but it's got to be focused into the word. And that's why I believe our pastor here is stressed so much to the word. And God has just been so gracious to make sure that we understand and to bring it around and around again. How many times as the Lord brought something, and then it might go a year and it comes back again with a little more in it, and then it might go 2 years and it's come back again. When you watch God just keep feeding it, he knows how to bring that little bride to that fullness and what to feed us, not to choke us out, but to give us the right amount of nourishment as we need it to bring us to that full stature. But saints, I am determined, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has called someone here to sit and hear the precious word and to be an overcomer and to be someone that God can express through in this day to prove that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My, you sisters can come to the instruments. I don't want to hold you too long. Amen. But saints, we must make sure that it's an absolute to me. Not an absolute to my husband, not an absolute to my wife, but an absolute to me. That this means to much as to me as anything. More than what, not just taking somebody's idea and following it along, but letting God take us in his hands and to mold us and to characterize us Everything happens for a time, and everything happens in season. But Jesus has got his hand right there. He's watching every motive, every action. But he's always mindful of his little elected. Let me see here. This is in the Message in Absolute, preached December 1st, 63. Page 11, paragraph 64. Just like it was back there at his birth, Isaiah 9:6, all down through the scriptures, everything was spoke of him. It was fulfilled. Over in the book of Luke, we say we see it at that, and he was the end. He was the end of the prophecy too of him. He fulfilled that. The history, the songs, everything in the Old Testament that spoke of him, it was fulfilled right there. And that become the ultimate, that become the typepost of the Word of God for that age. And the real born-again people of this age that's filled with the Holy Ghost is the typepost of this scripture that's got to be fulfilled in these last days. They are the ultimate. It's God's ultimate because it's His Word. And the Word is Christ, the typepost. There is no way to get away from it. Something that's hold of you, as I said, it makes you do things you ordinarily wouldn't do. It made Paul do things he ordinarily wouldn't do. It made Moses do things he ordinarily wouldn't do. It makes every man and woman do things that they wouldn't do ordinarily. It's something that you are centered to, and it's something that's your stabilizer. Amen. The born-again Christian is tied to Christ, and the Bible is the anchor. It's the thing we're tied to. Let organizations, let different things, let science, let educators say anything they want to. As long as the Word says it and promises it, we're tied to that. There's something that won't let us move from it. That's right. A real born-again Christian will stay with that Word. If it says a certain thing to do, and a way to do it, that's the way we must do it. No matter what anybody else says, that's what God said. And we're tied to that, a Christ-centered life. And saints, that's what I pray each one of us. As each day goes by, we're looking more for that Christ-centered total. Everything we do is for one purpose, and that's that He might receive the glory, that we might come to that fullness, to the stature of Christ, that He would come and take that little bride home and take her back to her original place. Amen. Saints, God is moving in His people. He still moves in the heart of that bride. Saints, wherever they are, He's still dealing with them. He's bringing them step by step. You may say, well, I didn't come in till later, and I didn't do this. But it don't matter. God has a time and season for everything. And He knows exactly when it'll happen. And how often it is, maybe, you know, sometimes to stop and just take inventory of your life. And look back and say, would I have done this 10 years ago? Would I have been this person 5 years ago? Maybe last week would I have been the person that I am today? But no, God has took you in His hand, and it doesn't matter at that point anymore. You can look back and say, I used to think what people thought about me. I used to would have cared, but it don't matter anymore because there's become something in your life that's greater than anything else in this life. You're centered to that Word. And if you're not seeing it that centered yet, pray out and cry out to God that He'll make it that real to you. That this above all is the truth. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Just a few words. Pray it'll help someone, strengthen someone. But God's Word is spirit and it is life, saints. Amen. Somewhere it'll help someone. And it'll be an encouragement. It'll be a growth, a step, maybe someplace to cry out greater for God. But oh my, may we truly just worship Him. As we ask Brother Josh to come and dismiss us, let's just sing that little chorus. God still moves. Amen. And you know, as the sister's saying, if there's something in your life you need, reach out and cry out to God for it. Just like that little woman, let it be that real to you. If there's a need in your life, something you need and you want from God, whether it be a healing, maybe it's a physical need you have, something that you really need. If you let it become that serious that God said, I can have whatsoever I ask for. And if you begin to cry out and seek God for it, He's more than willing and there to meet that need. But oh my, sometimes He just wants to see if you'll stand there and knock on His door and keep knocking till He answers. But oh my, He said He'd hear a desperate cry. But oh my, may we just give Him all the glory and the honor and praise it's due Him. Let's sing that little chorus as our brother comes.
God still moves in the heart of His children. Does not sleep, nor does He slumber. God still moves. God still moves. God still moves. Amen. God still moves in
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, so thankful for another opportunity to come, Lord, to hear thy word, O God. Lord, the absolute must be, Lord. Lord, if we're sure of your word, Lord, and we have a revelation of what you say and you revealed to us, Lord, it's no problem to live. Lord, it's no problem to give you the time, Lord, that you deserve, Lord, in this life, and give everything unto you, Lord, and live for you. Lord, and then everything happens, Lord, according to your will in our lives, Lord, for our benefit. Lord, in your word, you said you would never put on us more than we can bear. Lord, some may bear more than others, but Lord, you see that they can handle it more than others. Lord, you're making them stronger. You're bringing them to that place, Lord, like Job, that you can show them off and show the world that this person can live for me. He can handle everything I throw at him. Lord, your word always stays true. Lord, we're so very thankful for everything you've done for us at this little place. So thankful for our brothers and sisters. Lord, there's such a love, such a bond. Lord, we just appreciate it. Lord, never want to take that for granted. Lord, just keep your eye on us. Lord, keep each and every one safe on their way home. Lord, just have your perfect way in our lives each and every day. And we'll be sure to give you the glory and the honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God still moves. God still moves in my heart. So I knew the master of the wind before we leave. Amen. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. Amen.
You would have done or handled before, because I've seen that. And she wanted to know what was different in my life.
Amen.
That she could see that. And I first want to say I want to thank the Lord that they all come out alive.
Amen.
But my testimony goes on more than this. And I want you to know that I always feel in my heart that I'm the least of all the elect and the least in faith. And I say this with humility and humbleness. But she says, what is it that you got that I don't have? And I said, it's the life of Christ coming into the body. And I said, it's not me, it's him. And she said, oh, that's what I want. And I've been praying for months. I was like, Lord, I want that life to be pressed in me so much that those around me, and I'm not talking about the church people only, I mean, everybody I come in contact with in life, they may not know what it is, but they say there's something different about that man.
Amen.
And he's got something that I want.
Yes.
And when I was talking to her, I wanted to cry because I felt so little and so humbled. But I, yet at the same time, I felt like jumping up out of my shoes.
Amen.
Because I realized that, you know, that life is coming into the body of Christ. Amen. We're going to start looking for his return. We're going to be loving and longing his appearing. And to have somebody that's just watching your life, she said, how could you be so calm in this situation? He's in control. How could you have happiness tonight?
Amen.
With everything that's going wrong in your life? Because he is in my life. That's why I can be happy here. That's why I have a joy in my heart. I'm thankful for what he did. And I just want to share that with you. I appreciate the prayers and all the offers that y'all had and stuff. And we just wanted to glorify the Lord.
Amen.
That message was a big help for us during this situation.
Amen. Lord knows what he's doing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glad to know the master of the wind. He takes
right.
care of all
Amen.
Things. Amen. I know the master of the wind. Praise God.
Amen.
I know the master of the wind.